Hey everybody, this is Ryan Scott, host of Land Party. If all goes according to plan, you're hearing this podcast on Wednesday, December 3rd. We actually recorded it last week due to just the holidays and various issues. We didn't get it up last week as intended. So this is the podcast for this week. Sorry for the delay and hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of Land Party, One Up Network's PC gaming podcast.
Land Party!
Yay! If you don't like that name, then too bad. I'm your host, Ryan Scott, and I'm sorry for everything you're about to hear. With me today is
Anthony Gallegos,
Jade Kraus, Tina,
Alice.
And that's about it. But, yeah, we got two new people on here.
Well, yeah, today. Matt Chandernay and Matt Robert Chan Ashley are off doing holiday stuff. We're still stuck here working. Lucky them. So Alice is here. We've been playing some Left 4 Dead with her. And Jade, the artist formerly known as GameStop Girl.
Indeed.
Who now is a member of our production department.
Yep.
Has, agreed to join us for this one time, hopefully not the only time.
I think it would be the only time if Sean still worked here. Could you imagine if Sean Elliott was still here, the things that he would be asking her?
Yeah.
It would be pretty horrible. So.
Yeah, no thanks.
So for all the listeners, you know, that's how you get a job here. Read comics with Anthony.
Yep.
Yeah. Or try to get into Chef Love.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, we're kind of estrogen heavy today.
A little bit.
I know, Ryan.
Hot.
Like, what's up with you?
No,
you're
just how
it.
That's how I roll. It's how I like it.
After this, we're all going to eat ice cream and watch romantic comedies.
We're going to watch The Notebook. Right,
it's not a land party, more like land harem.
Oh, there we go.
Anyways,
what are we talking about today? We're so unprepared for this podcast.
No,
I just want to say
I wanted to start off by saying thank you to all the people that sent me birthday messages. I didn't respond to any of you, but
because I hate you.
But I read them all, and I appreciate it.
That's what people always say. I read all of them.
I do read all of them.
You could be like a Blizzard mod. We read all the posts.
The difference is that I really do read all of them, because it's not like
like Sarah Palin.
I get more than like five a day. It's not like I get thousands or something like that.
Yeah.
I really am not that popular. And then I got a ton of messages about people being pissed off at us because we didn't know that unit from StarCraft was called a Dragoon, is what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
I knew.
No, you didn't. You couldn't name it either at the time.
No, I didn't.
A lot of people said that I was a failure for not knowing that, too.
What they don't know is that that's why you're a failure.
I took that personally, and that's why I've actually been kind of down the whole rest of this week.
Because you didn't know unit name is StarCraft.
Yeah, Ryan and I didn't know.
Yeah, guys have to be careful. Anthony might commit seppuku or something like that in these days.
Yeah, we do work on the 8th floor, and there's a reason our windows don't slide open.
All right, that's nice. So I got an email regarding our Catholic and religious conversation we had last podcast about
guitar praise. Yeah. What was
guitar
it?
Praise.
Yeah. And then I made a comment saying that Harry Potter was on the ban list.
The index is what it's called.
Is it?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Anyways, apparently it was only banned in certain churches in the United States. Wasn't on the official Vatican list, so my bad.
Thank God.
Yeah, the guy who sent me the message was Boat of Car, and he...
Boat of Car?
Yeah.
It's a creative name.
I know.
So let's talk about... Everyone's been getting mad because there's been a lot of talk about Left 4 Dead.
But that's stupid because if you look at your Steam list, like 99% of those fuckers are playing that game.
Well, more importantly,
it's really good.
Last week the only people who had played were me and Tina, and now
Alice.
Most importantly, Ryan Scott has been playing a PC game other than World of Warcraft, and that right there is something we should all talk about.
Oh, hey, you know what? Speaking of PC games, I finally got my Ubersaw in Team Fortress 2. I was not aware, but apparently last June they fixed it so that you only have to get like 20 of the 39 achievements in order to unlock it. So I was like, cool, I got 37 of 39 achievements, and I unlocked it. So I'm happy now.
Have you been using it, or did you just get in there?
No, I just did that and then went back to Left 4 Dead.
Of course. There are more achievements to be had in Left 4 Dead.
Yeah?
Yeah, there are.
Are you concerned with Left 4 Dead achievements, though? Be honest with me.
Not really. No.
Okay, good.
Liar.
No, I mean, like, there's some, like, when I see an opportunity, like, I'm not going to go out of my way to just, like, farm achievements or anything stupid like that.
I thought you and Eric were talking specifically about how you two would play and try for hours doing, oh, Eric Nair, he's a freelancer for us. You can read a lot of his reviews on oneup.com, but...
Eric's awesome. We play with him. He, like, takes charge. And...
I know. I love it. He's, like, a total, like, party leader. He'll be like, okay, you go there. You go there.
But he was, when I played with him the other night, he was like I have to do the achievement where I don't use any health packs.
Right, but he told me specifically that you guys play to try to get, you know, all these different achievements.
I mean, we haven't.
Didn't you do like the towering inferno one where you had to light the tank on fire with Molotov? You're like, I want to get the achievement, but the game won't give me any Molotovs.
That's exactly how he sounds like, Alex.
And then he goes, eh.
I did. When I see the opportunity to get an achievement, I will try. I don't play specifically for that. But I did that. You there when like I was trying? I saw a tank and I just ran straight up to the tank and tried to throw the Molotov and he beat me down.
And then you burn. You set the thing on fire.
I killed him too.
You did, but he because after you light it on fire with a Molotov, it will guarantee to die in like 20 seconds or something like that. But you had created like a wall of fire that separated us from you, so you were downed and we couldn't get to you because we couldn't get through the fire, so you're just standing there with the tank burning on top of you.
Yeah,
and you died.
I'm a total badass.
But it took one for the team, guys.
Yeah. So I hear like the easiest way to kill a tank is to throw a Molotov, light him on fire, and then you just gotta wait 20 seconds.
You just have to run. But it's still pretty hard to run from him.
Yeah,
I also heard through the grapevine that Ryan specifically only plays as the character Zoe when he plays. Specifically because she's a white woman.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Ryan O'Donnell or Ryan Scott?
No, Ryan Scott.
And then
he only plays as
Zoe. Oh, no, he also played as the black guy once. Oh, wait, no, that was Eric. You played as Francis, too. I've seen it.
Alice. Anthony.
No, I ruined a joke.
Alice.
No, it's true. Like, who was I? It was Lewis the other day, and he wouldn't revive me. He was like, white only.
Dang.
He's like, Ryan.
I was.
What's wrong with me? Honestly,
do you guys have specific characters that you tend to
wait a second at? Hold up, this doesn't make sense. If Ryan only likes white women, why would you play as the white woman? You would play as someone else so you can look at the white woman.
Oh, that's
she
true.
Has a point,
Anthony.
Well, seeing as how this whole joke is nonsense and it's true anyway.
Anthony's like in the corner facing the
first
the
and
now.
The only time Alice will ever be on this podcast.
Dang.
Make your noise. I want to hear your noise.
What? What noise? That?
Yeah, that. Yeah, so...
No, do you guys have specific characters that you pick each time?
Yeah, I like to play as the old dude a lot of times.
Yeah. Lewis, check your fire.
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why.
Have you guys seen the NeoGAF thread about that Left 4 Bed video?
Yeah. We didn't, but we did watch that before we came in and... I don't know.
That was pretty disturbing.
Please explain.
It's a.
They took a bunch of sound clips and made it sound like Bill and Lewis were having sex.
Hot.
Against Lewis's will.
Yeah.
Hotter.
And then at the end he says, reloading.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, whatever. But.
Have you guys actually played through all the different scenarios on there yet?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, because so far whenever I play like a competitive multiplayer, everyone always does the first one, No Mercy. Like last night I played with Sean and all those guys. And there was five of us in Vent, and then there was three random 1UP users that joined.
Yeah.
And so I ended up getting, I don't mean to make it sound bad, but I ended up getting stuck with the 1UP users.
And you lost because you were playing against Sean Elliott.
We got our ass handed to us over and over again. And not only that, but
Playing Survivors or?
Well, in competitive, you trade back and forth between.
So you just lost both ways.
Yeah. Okay. It didn't matter. Yeah. And every time, and at one point we started doing really well because this random guy joined. And all of a sudden, Sean claimed that the guy was running a script. And immediately when Sean said that the guy was running a script, Matt, the guy who was running the server, one of the kids I play Invent with, started running cheats where they all spawned as tanks at the same time.
What? Yeah. Really?
Wow.
It was fucked up.
Anyway. We were playing with somebody the other night. I think it was when you, Alice, you were having a hard time getting your mic to work.
Right.
But you were trying to get into our game, and we all voted to kick this guy. And then he saw that we were voting to kick him because he gets to vote too, and he just opened fire on us. It was great.
I love how we were playing and then you decided to be such a dickwad and you walked up to me and you started shoving me with your gun. And you're like, oh, does it actually hurt you? I'm like, yes.
No, when you shove, it doesn't.
Melee attacks don't hurt.
Well, my HP went down.
You can kill zombies with melee attacks.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever decapped anyone with that? That's awesome.
All you do is when you get spit on or anything, you just back yourself into a corner and mash the melee button.
You're pretty much invincible.
So anyways, like, since I've been playing and stuff, I was talking to a couple of my friends, and we decided that, like, for the next Left 4 Dead that comes out.
Left 5 Dead. That's a pretty good note. Or Left 4 Dead.
I don't like you
Returns
guys.
Or some shit like that. I just realized that, like, or my friends as well realized that when you're playing, like, it's not as in-depth. Like, when you're fighting, as it could be, like, it could be so much better. Like, when they're attacking you, they're just kind of, like, you know, like, rubbing their hands against you, like, ah. But, like, I would like it if you could actually see, like, parts of your body, like, freaking, like, coming off and stuff when they're attacking you. That'd be cool.
But how would you attach your wounds?
I don't know. I don't think they can do that with the from a nerd aspect, the source engine is, like, 5 years old, and I don't think they could do it.
Depending on where you shoot the zombie, you can see the damage going in the right spot, if you hold the melee button down
the whole time and, like, freaking do, like, a 360, like, you can just punch those suckers off, like, for a while. I don't know. That's just some random observations.
Yeah, I like going up to Alice anytime there's a lull and just hitting her.
It's because Ryan's also a wife beater in his spare time. Mm-hmm. Hence the reason he never brings his fiance out to any events.
Hey, that's not true.
You brought her out once.
What event have I come to recently?
You went out and played miniature golf with us, and then because we were in public and you couldn't hit her, you hit Shu in the back with a golf ball.
I did. That was an accident. You guys were
that was an accident.
You guys were like, hey,
with air quotes.
Hit the golf ball. And I was like, you don't want me doing this. It's not going to be pretty. Like, you don't want me to do this. And you're like, no, do it. And I was like, okay. And it hit Shu. Yeah. Like, I told you. I warned you beforehand. Like,
I remember that.
You don't want me doing that.
The goodbye.
I know, because you're an extremely violent person.
Yeah. I'm a rageaholic.
But
Rageaholic.
So Ryan, you were telling me that Left 4 Dead is right now, you feel like it could be your game of the year.
It could be. It's really, really
good. 2 years in a row.
What's
up with that?
Yeah, I don't like shooters, but apparently shooters are my games of the year every year.
What was your game
Team Fortress 2 last year.
Really?
Mister, I don't like Half-Life. Wait, you've never played Half-Life, is that right? I can't remember if that's correct.
No. Yeah, he's
no.
Right. Mister,
have you seriously
I don't like
never
Half-Life.
Played Half-Life 2? You've never played Half-Life 2?
I was the first person at CGW to play Half-Life 2.
Yeah, that's not what I asked. Have you played Half-Life 2, like, as in played it for, like, longer than a demo?
Oh, no.
How is that possible? You would play it, and you would literally find that it is the best shooter made to date. I would stand by
Half-Life
that statement.
Half-Life 2?
Yeah. But I have no context for that.
What do you mean you have no context for it?
I mean, I played Wolfenstein and Doom. That's it.
Mm.
That's all.
Anyways, so why would Left 4 Dead be your game of the year?
It's fun. I like it.
That's it.
I haven't done any of the versus multiplayer yet. Mm-hmm. But
I'm just saying, you're telling me that if that was your review or you were writing, it'd be it's fun. I like.
I wouldn't write a review of Left 4 Dead
shooters
because I don't play shooters. I'm not qualified to write a review.
That is
of a shooter.
That is not true. There are definitely times I've written like reviews for types of games that I don't necessarily play all the time, but. You're still
like
well.
Naruto
you're
games?
Still, you're still yes.
You play Naruto games all the time. I make sure of that.
I hate you. I'm just saying that you're still educated enough in like as far as what is in games and stuff like that you can review games that you're not necessarily totally familiar with.
Yeah, well, like I've never played a cheerleading game before. We maybe play Wii Cheer. The hell?
Well, that's because there's no cheerleading games.
That's because you're a girl.
I'm about to whip someone's ass.
Dang. Typecast.
Actually, yeah, Ryan does do that all the time. Just like
typecast people.
Yeah, just like wasn't there recently a cooking game? And who did you give that to? You gave it to Jade.
Yep,
I offered it to other people, and they were like, "I'm not into this." And I was like, "You were like Jade will do this." And you were
oh,
all,
Anthony
yeah.
sold you out. I see how
I
it
didn't.
Is.
I didn't sell her.
You did.
Other than strangely, he's whenever I do need to ask her for the time at her house, she always walks into the kitchen and looks it on the oven.
I hate you.
What did you barter with? Like, what did you get in return for this?
I kid.
You're like, oh, give this review to Jade, and in return, I want to review this game.
Oh, yeah. Ryan tried to offer me it, and I'm like, pawn this off on her. No, it wasn't like that at
it's
all.
It's only because I refused it, too.
Hmm. No, I don't. I try not to typecast people when I give them reviews.
Oh wait, you're talking about the Cake Mania game, aren't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Richard Lee loves Cake Mania.
Well, he
but he's too busy, right?
He wasn't in a position to read that game. Anyway, let's stop talking about the politics of reviewing.
Yeah.
How I make my snap decision on who's going to review something.
So Anthony, you brought in some user.
Yeah. Well.
Emails.
Okay. So someone asked me. This is kind of a random thing, but.
What's
I'm not
name?
The only one here that reads Walking Dead, so it's not so bad.
Walking Dead's a comic,
actually,
by the way.
His name is Tommy. Mm-hmm. I don't know his one-up username because I forgot to copy it.
Mm-hmm.
He just asked me, I was just wondering who you think the better artist for Walking Dead is.
God.
Tony
sounds
Moore
just like
or
that.
Charlie Adler. Personally, I like Tony's art better. Charlie Adler seemed to be too rushed and sloppy in the later issues. First off, he's wrong, but that's okay. Also, Robert Kirkman, as you know, is from my home state of Kentucky. So that goes to prove that we produce more than interesting statistics, racism, and Shane Bettenhausen. Thanks, Tommy. P.S. We don't speak of Shane Bettenhausen around these parts anymore. For whatever reason, this guy's like a rare Shane hater. But no, personally, I think that. Charlie Adler's art is better. What do you think, Jade Jenna? You read it too?
Well, I think so, only because of the style that the comic actually is. It kind of fits that it's, as he says, quote, rushed and sloppy. It doesn't really feel rushed and sloppy, just more like, I don't know, intense and raw, because that's pretty much what's going on in these later issues.
Yeah,
a lot of intense rawness.
I think a lot of people like Tony Adler's art at first because it's like, I don't know. It's got like a weird cartoony style to it, but personally, when I like to see like the other, like Charlie Adler, his art's way better because I like to see the way he draws faces being ripped open and that sort of thing. As grotesque as that is.
No, but he's also kind of good at like facial expressions when they're not getting torn off.
It's true, like when they're just shocked or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I thought he did a really good job with capturing like extreme shock and.
Well, I've vowed not to read, but. Walking Dead until they take my Greg Land should do Walking Dead art petition seriously.
Hmm.
Why should that guy do anything for Walking Dead when they already have an established and good artist?
Do you know who Greg Land is?
No, I don't.
He's very notorious for tracing for the things he draws, tracing existing art. Like he's
oh,
one of those
that's
people
the guy
that's
the guy,
like,
that, the guy
that
like I've seen like a picture of Wolverine
like, the, like,
and then
the people
like a picture
with all,
of
like the porno faces and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're like in like a stance that could only have come from a porno.
Yeah.
But they're like shooting a superpower.
Yeah.
What is this?
We'll have to post some of these pictures in the thread. Yeah.
Wow.
He's infamous for taking like porno covers and stuff.
And I mean just art that other people have drawn for other comics. He
right.
just like lay it on top of, you know, it's like clearly he based it off of this. If not, you know, I don't know if he traces it straight, but it's clearly, like, referenced very closely.
And then beyond that, I also got a ton of messages from people kind of, like, because people thought that when I was talking about Guitar Praise that I was basically insulting Christian music in general, which isn't necessarily the case. I was actually just insulting praise music, the music that's actually about giving big ups to J-Man. I don't like that music in particular, but there are actually a lot of good Christian bands out there. If you like hardcore music, there's bands like...
There's a lot of Christian bands I like.
Norma Jean. There's bands like... There's bands
Christian
like
music all the time.
There's bands like May and stuff like that, which are like a lot more poppy. Of course, I like crap like that, so...
You just called it crap. I'm just giving you a
hard time. No, but I'm just saying there are a lot of good Christian bands out there, and I don't mean to offend any of our Christian audience that might get offended and do something like mail us a bomb or something like that.
Hey, wait a second. Yeah, and also we should point out that you're a religious studies major, and I'm a minor, if that helps.
So that in particular makes us
pain
that makes us well-schooled and okay when we make fun of it.
Exactly.
I did an Asian chick, so therefore I can make racist Asian jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So as we're podcasting here, I'm looking through my 1UP inbox, looking for messages to read. There's
That's
a lot
terrible.
Of people. I mentioned, I think, on Legendary Thread, our MMO podcast last time I was on. think it was on there. I forget if it was there here, that I had found an exploit in World of Warcraft that allows you to kill opposing players in neutral cities with impunity on PvP servers.
And then you found out that it wasn't really an exploit and everyone's been doing it?
No, a lot of people have IN'd me or PM'd me, whatever, asking for the exploit.
Did you tell them?
Are you going to reveal it? Tell it right now.
I don't think I should do that.
I don't think you should do it either, but at the same time, remember what I told you? You can have your account banned for taking advantage of
exploits. That's why I haven't done it since, and I'm not going to tell people. I'll just tell you it involves
A spill it right now. Do it.
Let's
do
it.
Wait, are you on a PvP server or normal?
Yeah, it's a PvP.
All right, so basically Ryan's saying he's not going to tell anybody.
It's my glitch.
No, it's a glitch. You're willing to share it, but you're not going to share it for free. You want people to send you white bread, huh? Because that's what you like.
That's my whole plan,
Ryan needs SpaghettiOs.
You've uncovered
my Hungry Man meals. Anything that can be cooked in a microwave.
Chicken noodle soup.
SpaghettiOs.
Nah, Ryan's all about the chicken and rice.
I bought some SpaghettiOs yesterday.
See, that's what you need.
It's just a fire truck outside.
That's Blizzard coming for you right now.
So crack it down.
I have a message right here in my inbox from Foxheart, and it says, "Dear Mr. Scott, I'm a regular listener to all the One at Network podcasts, and it has come to my attention that you insist on apologizing before every episode of Land Party. In light of this fact, I have prepared a small poem to express my most sincere affinity for the One at PC podcast, both past and present. Roses are red, violets are blue. Jeff Green would never have apologized for being awesome, and neither should you. Don't listen to Tina. Sincerely, Fox."
Oh, aww. Fuck that.
You don't like that he calls you out in particular?
Yeah. Don't listen to Tina.
I'm going
to
admit that was a pretty weak poem, but it's the thought.
Oh, P.S. I am straight.
Oh, shit.
Thanks for making that
thank
clear.
Thank you. As am I.
Silence.
Ditto.
Sure?
Everyone in this room's like, I'm just kidding, Ryan. Ryan is happily engaged.
Yep.
Wait.
Hey, you know, I'm not all super macho, whatever. People have mistaken me for otherwise, you know. People just assume.
And there isn't anything wrong with being gay anyways.
No. But
anyways,
I always kind of find it amusing.
And there's so much right.
Speaking of community stuff again, so this guy who ironically is named Big Dick Enthusiast on our website.
Okay.
wrote a hate message to me. And he basically said that women need to stop being on the podcast. Like
what?
Yeah.
Wow, he's gonna love this podcast.
I blogged about it. So yeah, I just thought it was ironic that there's three girls now on it. I'm like,
why would he say that?
Because he wants the sausage fest. Obviously.
Wow. He wants the
what was his real reason?
He wants the real.
He says, "I'm not trying to come off as a sexist, but girls in podcasts just need to stop. Guys are clearly not open enough around them, and I'm sorry, but if someone is really saying most of the women working at the site have been chosen because they're good at what they do or express a unique opinion, need to stop smoking shit. The only reason they've been chosen is because they're not extremely ugly nor fat."
Wow, that's not sexist at all. No,
I don't want to come off as sexist.
I mean, let me just set the record straight. Like, I am ugly and fat, so I totally just blew your argument to smithereens right there.
Yeah, Alice is like 400 pounds.
I know.
Oh, Alice.
What we're not is
I'm
open.
Just very dense.
My favorite part about Alice is that I can't hug her and have my fingers touch on the other
exactly.
side.
Exactly. It's like hugging three people at once.
And
bang for your buck.
So I blogged about this, and then I got a couple comments from users, and then one, which is my favorite, I'm going to read from Jay Shadow. He says, "It's all totally true. Someone get intern Chris on instead. Sure, that guy was a douche, but at least he wasn't a girl."
Oh, my God. Okay. Was that serious?
Yeah.
Are okay. you sure? That sounds like...
If you're listening, whatever you
know. No, don't.
You missed the joke.
Shut up. What joke are you talking about, dude?
I have a message here from someone who has given me advice for getting into the vending machine when it's being stupid.
Did he tell you to crawl in a little hole?
The history of this, just in case people haven't been listening or they're new to the podcast, is that our vending machine traditionally, except it's been better lately, used to not drop the delicious treats that Ryan would buy prior to podcast, and Ryan would beat the utter shit out of the machine.
You never want to hear Ryan angry. It's scary.
Ryan would do like full-on flying Liu Kangs,
wow.
flying kicks into it.
Did you know if you kick them just right, they may actually open? I can tell you from experience that is not true.
Did you know if you kick them just right, they can fall on you and kill you?
I believe that.
Many people die every year. The vending machine mishaps. Don't let yourself be a victim.
So one of the big things, like, we've been trying to do that thing where each week we talk about an article, and I know not everyone read it, which is fine, because I didn't necessarily send it to everyone, because I'm often known as a failure. But I the article I did send around to at least Ryan and Alice and Tina, and I would have sent it to Jade if I had known that she was going to be on here ahead of time.
No, you wouldn't have.
Don't worry. I actually wouldn't have. But
stunning is a habit, dude.
What'd you say?
Stunning is a habit.
Stunning?
Yeah.
But it was written by Matt Peckham, originally for PC World, but I read it on the Washington Post website.
Yeah.
And it was talking about how PC...
That jerk doesn't do enough work for me anymore.
PC games market...
I miss him.
...is the largest market in the world, even way bigger than the Wii, PS3, and 360 combined. And at first when I heard that, I was a little skeptical, and then Ryan pointed out to me exactly
why
that's
true.
In the world, it's true. I mean, a lot of other places like China.
Korea.
Alice, what do you have to say about that?
Connect Four.
Alice doesn't like the fact that we're calling her out because she's Asian. Alice, can you tell us how that affects the Asian markets?
I like rice.
Yeah.
Do you farm gold and WoW?
Of course.
Oh, God.
All of my kind does.
Oh, God damn it. I'm going to let that go. And then there's like countries like Russia and stuff. I mean... Russia and
all of Europe.
Yeah. I mean, they basically are still all about PC gaming.
People love to bring up, like, oh, is PC gaming dead? Well, here in America, maybe it's not. Obviously, it's not as big as like anything else. But well, everywhere else, PC gaming's awesome.
It's because consoles are so expensive everywhere else. Like Wii and 360, they cost a ridiculous amount overseas, and PC not so much.
Right.
But by awesome, then you have to think of like all of the, you know, free-to-play MMOs and, like, the Korean MMO scene and stuff like that. And
right.
I don't know if I would say that was awesome. It's just a different thing. Because, like, basically 90% of those things I wouldn't even care about.
All right, hold on. I want to see if any of this fits you. The average PC gamer has a 17-inch screen running at 1280 by 1024. But serious gamers have a 21-inch screen running at 1680 by 1050, and extreme players have 30-inch screens running at 2560 by 1600. I don't think that qualifies as any of us. Like, I have a 19-inch flat screen, and that was, like, only till recently. Before that, I had a giant CRT. It was, like, a 15-inch maybe. I mean, do you like, have a hardcore, like, gigantic display at home?
I mean, mine runs at 1600 by 1200.
No, yours looks like 19.
Basically, as long as it can run Neo Geo games, you don't care.
Pretty much, yeah.
You like to go on Neopets.
I'm a lean forward player anyway, so my screen doesn't need to be that big.
Did you just equate Neo Geo with Neopets?
No, I just thought of Neopets.
She did, actually. Let's point that out.
I didn't equate them. They're not the same. I understand.
What is a Neo Geo? What is a Neo Geo?
Here, let me look it up on my laptop right now.
Moving on.
One of the most awesome consoles ever. Thank you.
Did you own one?
No.
They're expensive.
No, they're still really expensive. I've come very close to buying a Neo Geo several times.
I've seen them. There's a place in Alameda.
That would be an Alameda Game Exchange.
It's an amazing
hobby
store
to get into. Really?
Yeah, Alameda Game Exchange. If you like old games, there's like, it is obsene how many old games they have there.
It's amazing.
It's just across the bay.
Really?
Yeah.
Count it.
Okay.
It's on.
Do you have the Neo Geo emulator on your computer?
Ryan Scott doesn't have a Neo Geo emulator.
I don't condone
emulation.
But Ryan Scott may or may not have a modded Xbox.
I don't condone anything of the sort. I cannot officially acknowledge that question.
We have some Neo Geo arcade machines in the Bay Area.
I'm just saying. One time we should all make a little like nerd pilgrimage out to Alameda Game Exchange.
The family that runs it, I'm good friends with, because when I was working at GameStop, people would come in with like Nintendo 64 or PlayStation games, and we couldn't take them. And I would be like, go here and talk to these people. They are amazing. And the woman, her name escapes me, unfortunately, she actually has a list. And whenever I like want a game, like a retro game, I'll put it on the list, and she'll call me when they get
it.
Yeah, it's an amazing store.
You got the hookups.
Yeah,
and not only that, but that woman, she looks like a housewife, like you wouldn't expect to know anything. But man, she knows her shit backwards and forwards.
And
it's crazy when you call her in.
The store is full, like wall to wall with games, and I'll be like, "Do you have
Do you have Panic Restaurant for the NES?
Like anything. She'll be like, she'll be right like it's right here, and just pull it out of like a stack of games.
Yep. This sounds like the best store I will ever walk
into. It's a tiny little family-run place. Like it's.
They're really nice, and they have next generation console stuff too.
Do you think they'll have Starflight?
What is Starflight?
The game.
If they don't, they will find it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or they'll call you when they get it. And they also do, like, she was telling me, like, how her Super Metroid, the battery had died in it.
They replaced it?
They replaced it for me.
Isn't it just an LCD? Like a,
it's like a little CMOS battery.
Or not LCD, but, you know.
It's like a battery on a motherboard.
But it's a pain to do it yourself, and they did it for me. I don't know if that's, like, if everyone can go there and get that service, but...
but I'm saying you'd probably pay for it.
Yeah. Or, like, they'll definitely find another game. Like, if you need another copy of Super Metroid, they will find it.
It's a bummer. There's not a lot of brick-and-mortar stores that deal very, very well in old games.
Like, I'll go to, like... You can find, like, PS2 games, and that's it. It's, like, the oldest you'll find.
I only know of the Alameda Game Exchange, and then in Sacramento, there's a wonderful store called Fair Game, and it's kind of along the same lines where it's just run by... crazy nerds that have a bunch of stuff. And
I need a picture of Ryan's setup at home. I remember you telling me you had like 16 consoles hooked up or some bullshit.
Yeah,
like
except let's point out that Ryan's setup also still includes an old SCRT TV. Like
it's all old consoles. So like, so what? Yeah.
No. But Ryan definitely still has like a 360 and stuff like that. Because it became an issue when he played Banjo-Kazooie because he could not read the text. Because he did not have an LCD HDTV.
I know how you feel, man. I had the same problem playing Dead Space.
Except the difference between you is you're new here and all that, and Ryan has the term executive added to his title.
Yeah, that's why he has a TV in his office where he's most of the hours of the day anyway.
Alice, this is like four times you foiled my logic.
I know. I like to wreck your shit.
No, I do not appreciate it.
This is why I like living with her. She rings you down.
This is why
your
I don't come visit you guys ever. Mm. Alice just makes me feel like a moron all the time. Anyways, this isn't Retronauts, and we're sitting here talking about old ass games, which is fine because I love old ass games.
Well, but what? I want to talk about Half-Life.
Oh yeah, let's talk about Half-Life. Yeah,
Tina's apparently never played Half-Life.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I tried playing it back in the day,
but just point out that I've never played Half-Life either.
Which, just to pimp it, next week's Retronauts is all about the original Half-Life
and
the various mods that spun
off of
them.
Nice.
So
I'll be on that.
So it's been out for what, like 10 years?
It did. The 10-year anniversary just passed.
What do you think?
That's a loaded question.
Well, I mean, how far have you gone very far? Or?
I'm still trying to kill the...
You're like 5 or 6 hours in at this point.
Yeah. Trying to kill like that huge creature. You have to like grind it up with the fan and stuff.
There's a part where you reach a giant monster and it's sitting underneath like a giant rocket engine. It's a pretty pivotal point in the game. Most people that have played it would remember that. But it's so funny, like as a person that played that game like 10 years ago when it came out, watching Tina play, because it's kind of like when we were playing Street Fighter and I was telling you I didn't know how to throw a fireball, and it was like boggling your mind watching me trying to throw a fireball. Like watching Tina play, like there's like little things like, she's like, man, how do I get past this? And it doesn't like come to her because like I've played so many Half-Life games that you just need to like, like, whenever you're in a position where you're stuck, you either need to try and crouch or just try and break shit with your crowbar. I was like, this is one of the few games. She was stuck for an hour this morning because there was this wall of boxes and boards.
Yeah.
And then I walked up and I was like, I just started smacking it. And I was like, when all else fails, Half-Life is one of those very few games where when all else fails, you should just shoot it. Like, most games, that's not true at all. But when all else fails in Half-Life, just try and break the shit out of everything you can.
I was initially, when I started playing it, I was making fun of it because, you know, it's old and stuff. And
yeah, like the fact that they repeat the same
models. Hey, I'm talking, motherfucker, I'm talking.
Oh.
Just kidding. I'm sorry. A user said I should do that because you guys always interrupt me. Because I'm a girl.
I was just trying to point out a specific example of what you meant. Because at first she was making fun of the fact that there's only like three character models.
Go ahead. Like having Anthony talk for you.
He's talking for me.
I think you should stick your hand up Anthony's butt and then just have like a ventriloquism thing going on.
I'm going to shut up and let you talk about Half-Life. All I care about right now is what your opinions are about Half-Life. I apologize.
No, you can participate with me, but you don't have to say like, this is what Tina did, because I'm right here. My bad.
He's translating.
I know.
Into man-nese.
I guess.
For all you men in the crowd, here's what she's really saying.
All right, so anyway.
Well, no, like, initially you start off in a tram and you're going through, like, the environment and stuff. And I was jumping around in it and I was like, what the fuck? Like, when am I going to shoot shit? Like, I was getting impatient. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, and then I get inside the lab, and then Anthony was watching me, and then I was laughing because I saw this old dude in a lab coat, and I turn a corner, and he's there again. I'm like, whoa, they all look alike. I know, I thought it was funny. And then once I put on my hazard suit, some weird techno music came on, and I started dancing to it. It was pretty cool. Yeah, but Gordon Freeman, I just totally was making fun of the name because it's so plain. Gordon Freeman.
I think that's one of the big reasons people have traditionally liked Half-Life, though, is because Gordon Freeman was the everyman hero.
He never talks.
Ryan to this day is still trying to shape his own style after Gordon Freeman with the glasses and the facial hair the way it is.
It is true.
And the crowbar.
But I'm not saying
office.
It's a bad thing. It's not. I just thought it was interesting, kind of plain. But it's cool. I mean, I was, the head crabs?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were pretty scary. It made me jump in my seat. This game was scarier than I thought it would be.
I mean, now that you're playing it, have you thought in your mind, oh, I can see why people love this game so much?
Yeah, I'm totally addicted right now. I need to finish it.
I mean, at the time, yeah.
It's entertaining.
There's
weird puzzles and stuff.
I was going to say, all the other first-person shooters were, overtly scary, Doom 2 or Quake 2 or stuff like that. And, Half-Life definitely plays with your head a lot more and is, way more story-driven than either of those games, I think. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think Half-Life was, the first game, one of the first games that proved that first-person shooters could, tell a great story and be scary, actually scary, or more suspenseful, I guess, rather than just, boo, shit coming out of a closet.
It's funny, what are those? I don't know the names. I gave names to specific types of enemies. I called one Honey Baked Ham, the one that sends out a
sonic wave.
Sonic wave, yeah. I thought that was funny. And then there was the vagina face, the looking monster that shoots green shit at you.
Which actually, that needs no description. The name is a description within itself. But for our users out there who have never seen a vagina,
Oh, dear God.
Get that monster some monostat.
No, it's really interesting. And, it's good now, even though, 10 years later, the graphics and all that, it's still really fun to play.
And it's even better for Tina because she didn't have to buy it herself. A 1UP user gifted it to her.
Wow.
Yeah, Brian Guitar Dude for $1. I thanked him.
Big Pimpin, 98 cents.
What? Yeah.
That game's still worth the $10 if people go out and buy it right now. Totally, I don't know. Is.
It also makes you really appreciate games nowadays too. There was that loading screen that kept popping up when I was playing. I'm like, whoa, what the heck? That necessarily isn't the case anymore. And then also something that Anthony helped me notice was when I was in the vents and it was really dark and you turn on your flashlight, there wasn't actually a light source. It was just textures.
She was just moving a light texture around rather than actual lighting and stuff like that. The shit that we take for granted nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just observations like that. And I'm still playing, so I'll be discussing it more on Retronauts, but yeah.
I think that's one of the few games I still feel is kind of timeless at this point. I don't know. There are a lot of games you go back that are just really hard to go back to. But I wouldn't mind it. If they were to do an updated version of Half-Life with the Half-Life 2 engine, I would definitely pay full price for that. And that's one of those times when people could give me shit because I give her shit.
Well, they did a Half-Life Source. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did they?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
That was... Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they...
Duh!
And Animal Crushing, a user on our site, says...
I'm going to quit my job.
Half-Life Opposing Force is the best expansion ever made.
And wow. Best expansion ever made.
I think
they should talk with the StarCraft fan base.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, remakes of games like that, I always give people shit for buying again, but I guess there are games like Half-Life and stuff that I would totally do it again, because I know that there are people like Jade that totally, have the SNES version of Chrono Trigger, bought the PS1 version of Chrono Trigger, and then this week went out and bought
Weren't
the
you looking
version
for
of
that
Chrono Trigger.
Earlier this week?
Because I've never played it, and I thought maybe finally I would try it.
Do you want my SNES with my cartridge?
Yeah, I guess.
Whoa.
I
also... Do you have the box and manual?
No. I do.
Oh. I was going to say, I'll take it.
No. Well, I didn't say borrow.
I was going to say, that game's even on the SNES, it's still $70
with
or something.
With the box and the manual, it's worth a ridiculous amount.
Shrink-wrapped in a box on eBay, that is one of...
Dude,
if you buy just the cartridge, it's $60.
You find me in the box and I will shrink-wrap it for you. We'll fake that shit. But
man,
you know, there are a few games like that that are like, I kind of miss that, like in some way that all of these people that love older games and stuff. It's not that I don't. It's just I can't really think of any games that are like super old that like I really want to play over again, except for things like Half-Life and stuff like that.
There's sometimes there's like when Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past was re-released for the Game Boy Advance.
Awesome.
I played through that again and was like, "Wow, this is still like one of the best games ever made."
Sprite art holds up really well.
For some reason, I also feel though like I'm more inclined to go back and play older games if they were console games rather than older PC games, which is like also because like finding an older console and hooking it up means that it'll definitely work. Whereas like acquiring an older PC game, you have a lot of compatibility issues
with PC games. I mean, if you're playing an old PC game, I think it's so much more apparent in your mind, like, wow, this technology is so old.
Yeah.
Because you're still playing on, like, fundamentally the same type of hardware, you know? Like,
you have to jump through so many hoops, too, to get it to work sometimes. Well, like, King Quest.
DOSBox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, DOSBox, but it's not even perfect. You have to find patches and stuff sometimes.
I'll show you how to make it perfect.
Whoa!
Right.
No, like in the King, like I have the box set right of King's Quest, and then I use DOSBox.
Any Sierra game you own, I will make it work for you.
No, I can make it work, but the point is, it doesn't work out of the box. Like if I just plugged in my SNES cartridge into my SNES, it will work. But the PC games, sometimes you have like compatibility issues, and you have to like kind of hunt around to get.
Yeah, when I launched Half-Life on my computer,
it crashed.
Wow. Did. And I also had a music disc in my disc drive.
Oh.
And you're not supposed to have one in there, right?
Well, it's not necessarily that you're not supposed to. It's just that the original Half-Life was, like, made.
Runs off a CD.
And it was made to play, like at certain points, it would cue, like, play track 3. So if you have a CD in there, when you hit those points in the game, it'll cue track 3. And it might just be, like, whatever CD you have in the drive. So it won't really make sense. Huh.
Someone should totally like throw in
out
like,
if that happened.
Spice Girls or something like that.
Exactly. what I was going to say, like you say, it, you know, it's easier playing old console games. It's like, but it's like, you know, when I was like, I'm going to throw on an NES game. Like I know, you know, what to expect from the NES. It's like you're sort of like in NES mode. If you're like in PC mode, you're just going to be like, oh, PC technology is so much better now. This looks like crap.
Yeah.
You know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hope that...
It's a mindset.
Yeah, I guess it is. It just comes down to a mindset, which is kind of sad, because a lot of the best PC games lately, I don't know, I haven't... Like, there hasn't been a PC game, too many PC games recently that I've been all about PC-exclusive games anyways. A lot of the older PC games that are, like, exclusives are all, like, I don't know, 5 or more years old, the ones that I really, really love. I don't know.
Right.
But, like... Specifically, we can use this transition to our games of 2009. Like, Alice, I know that I told you that you were supposed to find something. Is there a game in particular next year that you're, like, looking forward to playing?
Right.
Jonesing for?
Yeah, I don't know.
No? You hate games now?
No,
there's just
I like
nothing
games.
In 2009 you want to play?
For, not even
well,
one
yeah,
game.
Console stuff maybe, but like PC wise.
We
like,
can talk about
like
console
what?
Things.
You know
that's
everything
fine.
That's coming out in like the next 6 months. You're the
Do
previews
I?
Editor. Yeah,
Do
so
I?
What?
I don't really know. I don't know. A lot of the games I'm looking forward to are a lot of like the PSN titles because those are really awesome. Like Flower and Fat Princess, that kind of thing. Like a lot of the bigger titles, I feel like I don't really have to think too much about them because when they. Release or whatever, I'll be like, oh yeah, this game is good, that game's not good. I don't know. Like, probably still be playing the WoW expansion anyways next year, so
yeah,
I don't need them to have another expansion for another year afterwards, unlike Ryan, who wants one in 09.
Well, that's because Ryan's already done everything there is to do in
You're 80 already?
In
no.
Wrath of the Lich King.
So, you know, he didn't do
Well,
it
what yet. Level are you, though, with your Death Knight? This will be all we talk about World of Warcraft.
This... Still 66.
Still only 66.
Only 66. What the hell?
I have not gotten too much time to
because he's
recently.
Busy playing Left 4 Dead.
Well, there's I. Yes, well,
there's Mirror's Edge for PC
I've been
coming
bad
out, which is
playing
awesome.
Left 4 Dead when I should be playing WoW.
Yeah, I don't know. Mirror's Edge seems like one of those games, though, to me at least, like from what I've played and stuff, that it feels more like a game that I would feel more comfortable playing with a controller.
Plug in
which
a controller.
Which I know is like blasphemy.
I think
plug
I,
in a controller
I played,
then.
I played the demo
on PC.
No, on 360.
Oh, okay.
And for me, I felt like, wow, I wish I could. I have a hard time. I suck playing first person games with a controller, and you turn like all slow if you're turning left.
You can
right
turn the sensitivity up.
But then
it makes you.
Then
jump
I'll
back
just in. I'll just overshoot or something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, you don't really shoot that much in the
or
game.
Or overshoot my
oh,
movements.
Oh, I see.
You know,
I see.
But
gotta fine tune that shit.
But I mean, like, I found myself thinking like, wow, you know, I could do this a lot easier, a lot faster if I had a mouse and keyboard.
The thing about the PC version is that it's got a lot of new physics added in that I'm really interested to see.
Really?
So yeah. Yeah, a lot of stuff. Did Matt Leo not show you the nude PC trailer that he has been like showing everybody that walked by his desk?
Nude PC
she did say
trailer.
The nude PC trailer,
no,
which was a little
nude.
Bit of a Freudian slip from Alice.
You're just nude?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I just think of naked people all the time. Especially naked video games. Ooh la la.
You,
I don't know what
you
that
downloaded
even means.
The WoW naked patch day one. Did you ever see that?
I did. No, I don't really care for like video game naked
gnomes.
Peoples,
no.
Are you serious?
Naked that gnomes. It's hilarious.
I want to know is that just like a boy fascination growing up?
Because, naked video game characters.
Yes, because who when like remember like Ryan's got to at least be with me on this. That like remember like when you heard that you could see like Samus, like.
Yeah,
that wasn't a big deal.
Oh, like the well, she was like in a one piece.
Yes,
it's not that right? I've never
no,
seen. So you know, it's not.
Well, yeah,
the
but it's like a one piece.
Same.
Like
yeah.
When you put in the code to play her.
Yes, that wasn't unarmored. Like that wasn't like a big deal to you when you were like a kid.
I mean, that was cool, just because. You know,
or like the
nobody
first
had seen it before.
The first time you played a Tomb
whatever.
The first time you played a Tomb Raider game,
I,
and you were like, "Whoa,
Tomb Raider!" Never really been a big Tomb Raider fan.
Isn't even like funny when you guys played a. Did you guys play Phantasy Star at all? Like growing
oh,
up,
God.
Younger?
No, I was never.
You get to choose. Like,
I played those way after the fact, and not very much of them. Mm. I was like a Sega hater when I was young.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was.
So next year, there's gonna be a new Company of Heroes coming out in March.
A new what?
Company
yeah,
of Heroes.
Well, it's
Co.
An expandalone, as they like
is
to
it?
Call them.
Whoa. Yeah.
Most expansions for PC are well, I won't say most, but a lot of them are
these
standalone
days,
nowadays.
Nowadays, yes, these days.
These yeah. Days, mm-hmm. Like, I'd say most of them. Yeah. Most.
I think
of them
it's
are.
Just because it's becoming less financially viable unless you're WoW
yeah.
to release an expansion that requires something else. Like, people just aren't necessarily into that. And I talked to the guys at THQ, and it's because Company Heroes is sold. They say, like, it didn't sell, like, you know, great initially, but it's sold consistently month after month.
Hmm.
That they don't want to, like, require, like, if a new one comes out and they can get good shelf time with it, they don't want to require people to have to make, like, an $80 purchase rather than just, like, a one-time $40 purchase.
Right.
So, and they said the new expansion will still give you, it won't segregate you from being able to play multiplayer with the other people.
Nice.
So. And I mean, it does look cool. We have a preview up about it right now that everyone should go read.
Yeah.
Because I wrote it.
What other yeah. games are coming
are the
out
British
next year?
Still unbalanced?
Yeah, I think that a lot of the problems that are there in multiplayer are still going to be there. But I also yeah. think that when the new expansion comes out, it's going to there's going to be a patch that releases alongside it that'll resolve a lot of the issues. So.
And you said you never play as them anymore, right?
Yeah, I only play with them unless I'm with Sean and we just want to be really mean and beat up on somebody for no good reason.
Play so, to win, man.
Well, I always play to win, but Sean and those guys sometimes bring out like the really big asshole side of that playing to win that I'm not necessarily always proud of.
No, play to win.
That's like
always.
Another thing I brought up the other day. You know, when you're playing a game and you obviously notice that there's some things you can exploit in the game, you know, when you're playing multiplayer to win, and like sometimes people complain about that and stuff, and I was saying that it bridges the gap between like novice players and like, you know, the moderate, you know, players and just thought I'd bring
I mean every up. To me, you know, in a multiplayer game, in a competitive game, if it's in the game and if they don't fix it, I mean, it's there.
All right, I know, you know, but like by all means, you know, there's no reason why you shouldn't use it other than like, you know, your
yeah.
honor, pride.
Well, I mean,
honor.
Like Street Fighter, like the people who complain, like you're throwing cheap, you shouldn't throw me. Like, well, it's in the game. It's designed to make it so I can
yeah,
do damage
but
to you when you are sitting there blocking.
Once you actually get really good at a game like that, then you would tell yourself you don't need to do that anymore.
I don't know. There's part of me that like sees where like people are coming from, like. that feel like it's in the game, we should do it. But there are some things that are just so obviously cheap. And I think right now is a good time to point out that when Ryan was growing up, unlike the rest of us that identified with the Mighty Ducks, Ryan was always that kid that identified with the other team, led by the coach that would say...
That we're all black and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That if you can't... It's not worth winning.
I remember that.
If you can't win big. That's always Ryan's thing.
I identify with Cobra Kai. Strike that, strike hard, no mercy, sir.
The rest of us identified with Ralph Macchio.
Sweep the leg.
So you not choosing like to not use the British is an example of like...
Yeah, I mean, it's like a... It's like those times like when a... You're playing a game and you're so good at it, like Ryan is with Street Fighter or something.
Yeah, right.
No, but you really are. Hold on.
No, I'm not.
I'm not saying that.
Don't oversell my Street Fighter abilities because I am not. I would not consider myself good at that game.
I'm just saying it's like say like you and I are playing Street Fighter, right? Okay, and there's an obvious like skill gap. Like you're just going to beat my ass, and you
I
know
mean,
it.
You don't even know how to do a fireball.
So that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying you might pick because you know like maybe this character's got like all these things that make it kind of like the best character. You might handicap yourself. I just think that there's like a certain degree that so sometimes when you're really good at something, you intentionally handicap yourself because it is more fun to have like a little bit extra challenge rather than just beat on someone mercilessly.
Yeah, and you remember the other day we were playing people are going to get pissed because I'm bringing this up. We're playing Call of Duty on PC with Sean and his friends, and then I don't know, who was it that was using the Deagle the whole fucking time and just
It's the tournament Counter-Strike player we play with. I believe his name is Matt.
Yeah, and from across the map, like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and see, he just does that because it's like, it's almost like him.
See, tournament Counter-Strike player, he'll back up everything I've said. Like, if it's in the game.
No, but, you know, he...
You exploit the hell out of it.
He could have, you know, chosen to use, like, the Noob Tube.
But at the same time,
he used a Desert Eagle from, like, fucking far away.
And that, like, and you learn how to get your ass out of the way.
Right, but he's also the same person that would give anyone shit if they used, like, claymores or something like that, which are in the game, but it's like such a cheaper way to get a kill.
Have you
like,
guys read? I was reading Sore Thumbs, which is like Shu and Crispin. They have their little thing, and they link to this guy's review of some Star Wars online something or other game, where they're talking about Jedi battles, and the guy was like saying how you could clearly like do all these things or like once like you before a fight they would like bow before each other for like honor. You didn't have to, and when they did it leaves you vulnerable so you can like go ahead and just like start fighting. That's awesome. And like kill them, and when you die you have to wait like 30 minutes in a queue or something to come back alive and shit, so like you really didn't want to die. So it's like if you were, you know, honorable, you before the fight everyone would bow and shit. And there was like he was fighting a guy that was like without honor, and like he bowed even in spite of it, and he got hurt, and he was like blah blah blah, there's this big battle in the end, he wins, but anyways
the guy without honor won.
No, the guy with honor won with like one health point left or some crap like that. But basically it's like that whole idea of there's a like honorable way to play a game and the dishonorable way to play a game. It's kind of like a weird social
thing
that only crops up in multiplayer.
And I would specifically say that it crops up mostly more often in PC multiplayer than it ever does in console. Mm-hmm. Because in PC multiplayer, people make their own servers with their own rules. And you'll always see people spamming like, know this, know this, know this. And it's in the game, but it's still like it's the server mandated rules. And you can choose to play where you want.
You can do stuff. You know, I can go ahead and like get something and like break it over Anthony's head. But you know, that would be very mean.
In competitive games, you play to win.
I always complained when fools would Zergresh in StarCraft. Be like, what the fuck?
Ryan's like the type of guy that played games with his dad growing up, and his dad just got mad and never played more than like one round with him because Ryan was just beating his ass the whole time instead of like being semi merciful. Again, can't always like.
Well, no, but that's. I think that's a little different. Like you're handicapping yourself, you know, and you want to get better at other certain, you know, weapons or methods of killing people. Like, but like feeling bad for someone and just kind of letting them win, like that's completely different. That's kind of messed up.
I don't know. The point I'm making is that Ryan's a merciless person.
If I'm in an arcade and I put the quarter in the machine and some little kid walks up and starts playing. I'm not going to let that little kid win.
And you're going to like look up in his...
Was that you that had that story where the dad was like, why couldn't you just let him win or something? Who was that? There was someone in an arcade playing like Street Fighter and a little kid and dad come in. Dad puts in the quarter for the little kid. Oh, you want to play with my son a little bit? And that person beats the kid really fast and the dad was pissed.
That was not
Who
me.
Who was that? Oh, shit.
But there's that someone. Same thing situation actually did happen. When Ryan first started dating his fiance, he used to take her out to the arcade sometimes. This is why they don't go to the arcade anymore, as a matter of fact. Like, when we went to play mini golf,
there was an arcade there.
But yeah, he would publicly shame her in front of a lot of people. Just, like, straight up beat her over and over again. It was never like, let me maybe let you win because we're here having fun.
No,
didn't matter
hell no.
if it was skee ball.
No, you don't see them to let people win. You just, like, you lower the gap, though. You don't have to, like, lay the beat down and be like, ah, you suck so
Unless
much.
Unless you're Ryan Scott.
Well, this story is not true, but a lot of times, like whenever there's a new Soul Calibur Mario Kart, like my girlfriend will be like, oh yeah, let's play this. She's into those games. But then she'll get mad because I'll beat her all the time. Mm-hmm. But then when I try to let her win...
She also gets mad?
I mean, no, but I mean, it's always so obvious to her when I'm trying to let her win. Like, it just, like...
You,
I
like,
have some...
totally go, like, do a 180 and go down the track the wrong way. You're like, oh, look, well, you're winning.
Well, no, but I mean, she can tell, like...
That just means you suck at lying, Ryan.
What's like, wrong, Ryan?
Oh, our recording laptop, I just got a message that we are running on reserve battery power, and our computer's about to go to sleep, and that would be so terrible.
That's this not crisis.
Technical difficulty.
Hold on, Ryan, keep talking. Just keep podcasting like normal.
Seriously. Okay.
So, Jade, what kind of games do you play?
Go right now I'm playing the Chrono Trigger that just came out for DS.
Oh, yeah?
I got that game memorized, but I'm excited to see like the new stuff that they added to it. Mm-hmm. And then I just finished Dead Space, which in my
scary.
Humble opinion is my favorite game of this year. I think it's the best game that's come out this year. Yeah, a lot of people probably won't agree, but I really like it.
I thought the character design was really weird. You know, like the mask that he has on?
Well, I like the fact that throughout the entire game... when I first started playing it, I hated the fact that throughout the entire game he never spoke because of the way he interacted with the other characters. They would say something, and then it was like they were waiting for him to say something, and he wouldn't. And then they would just finish whatever his thought would have been, and that like really pissed me off in the beginning. It's like, all right, this isn't like a no-name hero. He has a name and like a history, but he's not saying anything. But then like about... like towards the end of the game, it was cool. I actually really liked the fact that he was like stoic, but yeah, other people were like filling in the gaps of what he needed to say. Yeah. And that was one of the highlights of the game for me, actually.
So what is your game like of 2009 that you're looking forward to?
Well, since it is actually coming out on PC, I can say Street Fighter 4.
Street Fighter 4.
You're gonna play it on PC?
I am. I'm going to try to play it on
PC.
Are
you going to get a joystick?
I have a joystick.
Yeah, the Hori stick is a USB input, right?
Yep. I'm hoping that, judging by the amount of people who play like Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo and Street Fighter 3 and all that stuff online using ROMs, that it's very bad to emulate. Judging by the amount of people who do that, hopefully there will be a sizable Street Fighter 4 audience on the PC.
It's cool.
And, you know, people who play, I don't know, people who play on, like, Xbox Live, they're a bunch of dorks. Like, I don't want to talk to those people. You know, Sean Elliott once said that Xbox Live headset is the worst thing you could put to your head, the set of a shotgun. So I'm hoping that the PC crowd, I'm hoping the Street Fighter crowd, like, embraces the PC version of that game, if it's any good. So I'm looking forward to Street Fighter 4.
I like what they're doing with the special edition, where you can go online and like vote for what you want to be in the special edition of the game. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Capcom's pretty good about like roping in the community to get them to motivate or influence like their products.
Yeah.
Have you voted in that yet, Ryan?
I have not. Is it, you just mean like what's going to be in like the box?
Yeah, what's
like,
going to be in the box?
Right.
Like a sweatband?
Yeah, or everybody's, of course, they want, like, actual in-game content, but they also have stuff like...
I want Chun-Li's thighs.
Her horse legs.
Yeah.
Chun-Li costume. That's what all the guys are voting for.
Just the thighs.
If you had thighs like that, you could never actually have babies.
And you can't fit them in the box.
It's like a genuine horse leg included in the box.
Yeah. They're like leggings, but you can blow them up or something. That'd be so awesome. It's like fat suit, but it's Chun-Li thigh suit.
Nice.
All right. So, Alice, I don't think we heard what game you were looking forward to in 2009. You were, like, trying to say it, and then you never actually said it.
Yeah, not sure.
Really? That's it?
Portal 2, if Portal 2 comes out, you know, Episode 3.
They just did that Portal Still Alive expansion for Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, but I'm
Xbox
looking
Live
forward
Arcade.
To, you know. Oh, Bioshock 2.
Yep.
That's coming out too, hopefully, maybe. We'll see.
I'm hopeful that that will be good, since it's not made by the same team.
I'm curious if it's sequel or prequel. I haven't been following too much about it, but...
I'm hoping that Dawn of War 2 is pretty good.
Yeah? Are you actually intending to play Dawn of War 2? Really?
Yeah.
Did you play the old Dawn of War games?
Mm-hmm. I played the first Dawn of War.
Oh, okay.
I really liked it. No, Company of Heroes, I mean, the only thing that really keeps me away from that, like, yeah. I'm not really into military-themed stuff, generally.
Mm-hmm. But Dawn of War is still military-themed.
But it's orcs and stuff. That's
it's
different.
Fantasy.
It's magic military.
What?
So.
Are you serious?
I'm
not
weird,
big. Why don't
weird
you
military
change stuff
the reality around you, dude? Like, pretend like you're on freaking.
Pretend like I'm controlling some elves.
Yeah.
In an alternate
future. And then when you approach, you know, Company of Heroes, you'd be like, oh, this is weird. This isn't like anything I'm used to.
And also StarCraft 2.
Assuming that actually makes
comes
it
out next
well,
year.
Yeah, who knows, but...
Do you think StarCraft 2 is going to come out before D3?
Diablo 3? I think Diablo 3 is going to come out first.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, they started StarCraft 2 first.
Yeah, but I still think Diablo 3
didn't
will
they mention
first.
Something about that at the BlizzCon event? They said that StarCraft would come out first.
I'm pretty sure Blizzard's official policy on everything is it's going to come out when we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're very...
They have the luxury of doing that.
Yeah. I wish more publishers did that. Like, there's this select group
I'm
of publishers.
I'm sure they wish they had the money to do that, too.
Well, I mean, there's this very select group of publishers, like, you know, off the top of my head, Blizzard, Rockstar, Nintendo, probably 2K. They or at least 2K Boston, they're just like, it'll be done when it's done. They don't try to meet, well, at least not that they're revealing to the public. They don't try to meet like all these like stupid quarterly like fiscal deadlines just to get a game out for the sake of
the shareholders.
Their profits. Or I mean, and you know, obviously I'm sure they have to still keep those things in mind. But when you look at the quality of these companies' games, compared to the quality, you know, just the overall quality of their games compared to everything else, like obviously they're doing something right. Like I don't know why more publishers don't learn from that.
True.
That you know, it's disappointing.
I'm sure there's a whole like risk reward balance act going on, and some of those companies just happen to have the ability to do that, whereas I'm sure a lot of others would like it, but.
I mean, like, you look at, like, Blizzard. Blizzard concentrates on a very, very small quantity of very, very good games. I mean, usually, you generally know that anything that Blizzard comes out with, there's a good chance that it's going to be a great game.
True.
And they only have, like, three franchises. And how many games do they come out with? Okay, there's, like, three Warcraft games. A StarCraft game, two Diablo games, World of Warcraft, and some expansions. That's seven games plus expansions. Like, since 1994 or 95, whatever. Like, I wish more companies would just concentrate on fewer numbers of really, really good games rather than just, like, churning out, you know, like, I don't know, random tangent.
That was a random tangent.
Do you think Tom Clancy's End War is going to be worth playing next year?
For the PC?
Yeah, because it's being developed in Shanghai, I think.
Well, End War's already out on consoles, and I already played it and reviewed it, and I thought it was a C+, and I was the most generous from our. So, no, I don't.
That sounded like it's a game that if they put a little more time into, could probably be... much better, because it sounded like the voice
controls were
stuff
great.
Were cool.
I remember making fun of you and making you test things, like saying,
I farted and see if the units did anything. It was funny.
Occasionally they do.
Yeah. And it's good, like, the fact that the voice controls are the things that you pointed out is like, wow, these work really well. That's good, because I mean, like, the last voice controlled game I remember was Lifeline, and
that game was horrible.
2004. I remember I sat next to EGM at the time, and the editor who was reviewing it, I just remember two solid weeks probably of him just screaming into his headset because that game was so bad. And you know, it's good that
voice recognition Invor's
stuff is so comparatively good. It's like, you know, I mean, it seems like the rest of the game would be like the easier stuff to kind of work out and massage. So maybe when the PC version comes out, maybe they'll have fixed a lot of what was wrong in the console version.
How do you get a job like that anyway?
What?
How do you get a job as a game massager?
I don't know. Be good with your hands.
So
that's terrible.
What game are you looking forward to, Jade?
Definitely Bioshock 2. I'm really looking forward to that because I loved the first one so much. I didn't go to work for like 3 days, and I didn't try to hide it either. I was like, I'll be at home playing Bioshock.
Wow.
Open call. I'll be playing Bioshock. But I'm also really curious to see what they're doing with Resident Evil 4, because I'm like a hardcore horror game fanatic. Or 5, sorry, my mistake. I say that because it looks pretty much like they're making 4 in a different country. Every time I like see the screenshots, I'm like...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, there isn't. There isn't at all, which is... I like that it is basically reminding me of Resident Evil 4, because that's a great game, but also I was...
The only good game in the series?
Whoa. Well, that's debatable.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say that either, but...
The series is awful except for 4. Just saying.
Then you'll hopefully like Resident Evil 5, because it looks exactly like 4.
Yeah, it looks cool.
But, I just really... I really want to see more actual, like, gameplay that is, like, new, because as far as I've seen, they haven't even come out and been like, this is brand new. You're going to be able to do this. They're like, you did this in Resident Evil 4. Do it again. It's going to look awesome. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it.
I'm looking forward to Killzone 2. Really looking forward to that game. Surprise.
Does that not come out till next year? I thought that came out.
Is it?
It's coming out the end of this year.
No, I thought Killzone was coming out 2009, early 2009.
It's next year.
Q1, early. Right? Mm-hmm. And Final Fantasy 13, motherfuckers.
Wow. That's totally not coming out next year.
Afro Samurai.
That's this year. Wait, no, it's not. It's next year.
I get so confused.
PC-wise, I want to play StarCraft, but I don't know when that's coming out. So.
Are you excited for the inevitable next Call of Duty game?
Yeah.
Even though it hasn't been announced yet, I'm sure there's going to be another
Ward.
One.
It's going to kick ass. But, I want to play StarCraft. I need to get on that. But they don't have scouts anymore.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm going to cry.
Or Dragoons.
Dragoons.
Yeah, they don't have those anymore. I don't know. Pretty much the only games I'm looking forward to playing, and my mic sounds weird, is Half-Life. Episode 3. That's like the big one I want to play. Now, granted, they haven't said it's coming out in 2009, but Valve doesn't really have a whole lot else on their plate right now, so I'm...
Oh, Valve. You know, Valve's another one in that list of, like, publishers who concentrate on small numbers of awesome games.
Yeah, their new IP is doing really well, too.
So, but yeah. I don't know. I guess that's pretty much all we had to talk about.
That's all I have to say about that.
Next week, we should have... We'll have some cool stuff to talk about, and Robert Ashley will be back.
Robert will be back.
So.
And Matt Chan, right?
As well as Matt Chandranay.
All right.
Matt Chan.
So.
And I'm not actually sure when this podcast is being posted, so if you're hearing this like after Thanksgiving,
I'm pretty sure it's posted prior to Thanksgiving. But
I hope. That's the goal. But if not, know that we failed, and now you're listening to it late.
And... I'll be on Steam this whole Thanksgiving break that we have.
We get 3 days.
No, I don't even know. How many days do we get off?
Two.
Thursday through Sunday. I mean, if you count the weekend, it's a 4-day weekend.
It's like...
So, we'll be playing. You'll be playing some... What are you going to be playing? Left 4 Dead?
Yeah.
Call of Duty?
Yeah.
I'll be playing Street Fighter.
Yeah.
No, you have to get on Left 4 Dead to play some more.
We playing Left 4 Dead. I'll be playing Street Fighter on my
Xbox. I'm just happy that Alice got it for PC. I was like, I love you, yeah. Alice. The other night when I heard
it
you
only
guys...
took her like 45 minutes to get her microphone working.
No, I got a new monitor finally. So I finally had my PC set up in the new place. And turns out the drivers that I installed for the LCD monitor, they fucked up my computer. So it kept hanging on boots. And then I boot in safe mode, get rid of the driver, reboot. But then when I booted up Steam, I didn't have my mic plugged in. So then
I just like to point out that you made us wait in the lobby for you for like half an hour.
I sent you a text. I said, you know,
I sent you like seven texts.
You sent me three.
Oh. Well, three at first.
He sent me one to look for you, too.
All right.
Anyways, we'll be on. So, you listeners, you guys can hit me up whenever you want to play. If I'm available, I'll play with you guys.
All right.
Yep.
We out.
We out.
We are out.
Balls.